Welcome back to the Friday show.
Friday show.
Wow. No one cares.
I care.
Really?
I really care that it's the Friday show. It's why I'm feeling loose and excited to be here.
Do you know what just happened? I was trying to say something like, I don't give a and it came out just as no one cares.
Yeah, which technically is right.
Yeah, it's all those words.
I'm glad it came out the way it should have.
It's just a totally different song.
That would have been a lot.
Yeah, instead of I don't give a blanky blank, if it's just like no one cares, right? It's just a different song.
Y'all could have told me to dress down.
Yeah, no, that's my fault. That's
could have sent me a text.
This is honestly, this is just my motif.
This
was
hard.
This is my aesthetic. It's it's the lumberjack who just got home from a long day is like what I am. So.
Like fantastic earrings.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm into it.
I'm sorry about the shirt. At the next break, I might change because I meant to. Really,
you're so high maintenance, man.
Yeah,
I can't.
He really is.
What's happening? Am I pulling? We're noticing I'm pulling this too much. I don't know.
Your
You're going like this. I don't know. I'm getting these weird signals from off. Oh, drop it.
Frustration.
So that was the signal I was getting. Was Jacora going? We dropped it. Ambria, Grace, Brett. We're all here.
Yeah.
We're all together. We're gonna get into talking about actual news. And apologies to everyone for what's happening. Unregistered Chicano tweets to hashtag TYT Live. Wow, more puns on today's show than when Cenk is there. So I don't know.
Hard to do.
And then I don't want a Democrat running with a Republican just so they can both screw me over. I want progressive policies, says Brian Newton. Member shoutouts, I don't know if those were done, but Joseph Willis and Sarah Potter. Good for you guys, and thanks. Everyone subscribe to the TYT so you can get additional content whenever you want it. You can see the post game, aggressive, progressive, everything like that. Grace is here to show us what's what in the news in the social hour.
We have a whole lot ahead. We're gonna be talking about some cheerleading, some dog poop, Taylor Swift, dating apps, a little bit for everybody. So let's just get right into it. Denver police have launched an investigation after a video of a cheerleading practice has gone viral. So we're gonna show you this video right now, but it is upsetting for some people, so viewer discretion is advised. Let's take a look.
Somebody had attacked my little girl and people sat around and let it happen and nobody stopped them. I first brought it up to the coach and he said, oh, she'll be all right. It's just a little war wound.
You're just gonna make it worse.
Stop me.
Is from East High School, again in Denver. Denver Public Schools announced 5 employees had been placed on leave. East High School principal Andy Metalsberg, assistant principal Lisa Porter, cheer coach Ozell Williams, assistant cheer coach Mariah Cladis, and school system deputy general counsel Michael Hickam. Now, when asked about this by the Denver Post, the cheer coach says, quote, you can definitely say that what was in the video could be seen in a different light. I would love to tell my story, but I can't say anything else at this time. The video was shot at a June 6th practice, so this was actually a while back, said Eric and Kristen Wakefield, the parents of Allie Wakefield, 13, the student shown in the video. Eric Wakefield said that they liked Williams' disciplined coaching style at first, but the intense practices, sometimes 7 days a week, were tough for their daughter. Allie's parents said they met with Metalsberg, the school principal, Williams, and his 2 assistants early this summer to talk about how to proceed. Metalsberg said the athletic department would assist with injury rehabilitation. The parents, that is according to the parents. Then summer break happened, then they came back from summer break, and it appeared as though there weren't any changes, there wasn't any new pursuit to find out what was going on at these practices to make sure that there was some oversight happening. So renewed complaints about the coach were brought to the East High administrators with no resolution. The Wakefield said a few days ago, Kirsten Wakefield shared the video showing Allie crying to a local media outlet. That's when the school system took action. Now for their part, the USA Cheer National Safety Council and the American Association of Cheerleading Coaches and administrators has said they do not condone the coach's action and reject them to the fullest extent. So it sort of seems like this was a case of something that they wanted to handle internally. They didn't want this to go viral. And then the parents got so frustrated when they brought their complaints. They showed this video, they took it to the principal, and then nothing happened. So then finally, they got burned through social media. They got burned through this mom being like, whoa, if you guys aren't gonna do something, let's put it into the public discourse and see how they like it. And obviously people are really upset about this video.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, why are you fine with it?
I'm fine with them using that as a way to get people to actually take notice.
Oh, so you're not fine with what's happening in the video?
No, the problem is when you are on a team or you're in a closed environment, maybe since everyone else is doing it, it doesn't seem like that big an issue at the time, and other people are able to do the splits easier or whatever. Right. But sometimes it takes other folks looking at what's going on to give fresh eyes on it. So everyone else says, that girl looks like she's in way too much pain. And while I'm sure when you're inside cheerleading, it seems super important that you be able to do the splits, but a decent person looking at it could give you a little more perspective to say, I think we should go a little easier on her.
Right, well, how do you feel about the mom taking it upon herself to share this video publicly? Do you think that she should have still kept trying to handle it internally, or do you think that she just reached her point and she's like, nope, I wanna make sure these kids are okay, this isn't okay, now you guys decide.
Yeah, I see no issue with the exposure. Well, it's high school cheerleading, it's not that.
High serious. School, she's 13.
Right? You take that back.
In the grand scheme of cheerleading, right, if we think about it, it's not that serious. And even if these techniques are important, like doing the splits, flexibility is important in the context of being able to cheer, but there are appropriate ways of increasing flexibility, and this doesn't appear to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Arguably, I'm not an expert on this, but if it is, she still has the ability to say, this isn't to opt out, this isn't how I wanna go about achieving this goal.
And experts have been quoted as saying, this is not the way to increase flexibility.
No, particularly because it seems as though it wasn't just the coach, it's other folks on the team who are all kind of participating in this mob style.
Yeah. And she did sustain injuries. She injured muscles and ligaments in her groin area as well as her hamstring, according to her parents. And physical therapy was ordered twice a week. So, and one thing that we know is if you've stretched at all, you're pretty familiar that the way that you get deeper into that stretch is not from being tense as though like people are around you. It kind of reminded me of like something out of like Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Which is weird.
Which is kind of a weird imagery, but that I'm a horror movie fan, that's where my brain goes. And I know that when I was doing yoga, hilarious.
Wow.
The way that-
Where's
way
that video?
Let's never find it.
I'm gonna release it.
It's gonna be find it.
New channel, new show on TYT, it's Grace doing yoga.
Please
enjoy
don't find
it now.
It.
Subscribe.
But the way that you increase that is through like calming yourself,
right?
You know, focusing on your breathing. That's how you get deeper into the stretch. It just seems like they weren't really thinking. And I agree with your point. I think they sort of just got caught up in this. We've got to make sure everyone's limber. I believe the quote is limber them up within these first weeks of cheerleading. Make sure everyone's nice and limber. And that's just not the way that you do it.
I did competitive cheer, unfortunately.
Really?
I will admit that.
You should have opened with that.
Well,
expert on the panel.
I was trying not to. and I remember all of this, like, you're really into the culture of cheerleading. Flexibility is important, and there's pressure to have everybody be on the same page in terms of flexibility because you can do more in terms of stunting and different tricks, right? But everyone's at varying levels of flexibility, and if you're an expert, right, a professional, and apparently this guy is pretty popular, then there are ways to achieve that safely. I remember the test for me was like doing a back handspring, and I couldn't do it. I did not feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And my coach was like, look, everybody who doesn't do a back handspring in the next like 8 seconds won't be competing. And I didn't do it, right? So it's,
Did you compete?
I did not.
I get it. That's fine. I've been cut
by
many teams.
You know, allow the student the choice to say, I don't want to do this. And she said, I don't want to do this. And they continue to apply force. That is what I have a problem
with. When I was in high school, I was on a basketball team, junior varsity. It was pretty good.
Hey now.
2 years in junior varsity. Good morning. And what we did is this conditioning thing where you do gassers. And the coaches, when we weren't doing very well or when it was gonna be a particularly daunting practice, they weren't assuring we'd throw up, but they would pull the trash cans out and put them by the edge of the field just so you know you're in for it today. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where if we stopped doing it, it would be okay if we like kicked out before it was time to throw up, but I definitely like threw up at practice a couple times.
Oh yeah.
Was I traumatized?
Well, I'm not sure, but I will say I've thrown up at practices before as well. Everything bad that I think I tore my ACL in a practice. Mm-hmm. Like I've done things wow. have happened to me through basketball.
Grace is a collegiate basketball player. I think you guys should know.
Barely a year.
So much better
but
than
what, what I would say is that the first couple weeks of practice, especially for a high school sport where everyone is encouraged to go out, you're not recruited like at the collegiate level. Well, actually, I don't know. Some high schools are very serious. Those are the most intense practices because, in a sense, you do want to weed out the players that want it, that are serious.
Sure.
But there is still a line when it comes to that. And I think what is frustrating here is that that line totally got blurred.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also worth noting is that even though they the employees were dismissed, they were saying that that is just that's standard policy, and it's they did not prejudge them. So they still come back to their positions. That's what's worth noting here. But I hope that this is sort of a cold drink of water for them to take a beat.
Sure.
And let's examine how our policies are moving forward so that we have a fun and also challenging cheer squad.
Yeah, and you can still have discipline without doing this to someone.
Yeah. Yes.
Like having practice 5 days a week is discipline enough, in my
sure.
opinion, to
mm-hmm.
keep, you know, to give you the incentive to grow as a person
yeah.
without holding you down as you scream bloody
right.
murder.
Yes. All right. So, agreed. Nailed it. On to the next story. I never know how to segue this. So I'm just like, we killed it. Good job, everyone. Solved.
I like it.
So, far-right activists who will be coming to San Francisco to hold a rally this Saturday will have a smelly surprise when they meet from some peace activists. They are going to be greeted with dog excrement, dog feces, dog shit. So hundreds of San Franciscans plan to prepare Chrissy Field, the picturesque beach in the shadow of the Golden Gate Bridge, where right-wing protest group Patriot Prayer will gather with a generous carpet of excrement. The idea came from Tuffy Tuffington, who said that he had the epiphany while he was just walking his dogs that wouldn't it be funny if you had all these right-wing activists just stomping around in some poop, and he thought that it was a little bit of what he said, civil disobedience, and they didn't have to engage with these people face-to-face, because obviously as we've seen all over the country, it just can escalate and get turned violent, and he didn't want to do that. So Tuffington, a 45-year-old artist and designer, created a Facebook event page based on the concept, and the dog owners of San Francisco responded in droves. Many have declared their intention to stockpile their shit piles for days in advance, then deliver them in bags for the site. The group is also planning to reconvene on Sunday to clean up the mess and hug each other. That's not the only thing that we'll be meeting these activists. They're going to be met with flower power, drag queens, a contingent of clowns, kayakers, cars, and kids. It sounds like a party if you didn't know any better. So this is what Cleve Jones has said, an LGBTQ rights activist. He said about this, you have a significant number of people who would like to go and punch Nazis, and then you have people who think they should be entirely ignored. In between, you have all sorts of creative and crazy ideas. I kind of like that. So my question for you guys is littering this field with dog poop, is that just a creative, benevolent, crazy idea, just like the clowns and the kayakers, or is this actually, you know, not peaceful? Like, hey, it really sucks when you step in dog poop. This isn't peaceful. I don't like this. Where do you stand, guys?
Ambria?
Not in the dog shit.
That's, don't stand
I
there.
I quit it.
There's one thing to remember.
Sorry.
Don't stand.
Don't stand. Writing it down. Writing that down. Don't.
Just in terms of strategy, if you're going to be shady, be privately shady. Like, I don't like that we know now that this is going to happen. So now they can kind of preempt this and maneuver around the shit as opposed
or
to walking right into it.
Meet them in advance. I mean, if I were going to this rally, if I was going to this meeting and I would now see this, it's in The Guardian, it's again
right.
not secret, I would meet them and be like, don't you get your dog shit away from here. Like, I would, and then it would, maybe it would turn violent. Maybe they'd have a dog fighting or something. I don't know.
This is
It'd be bad.
This is a really fun idea. You know, when you it's the person Tuffy Tuffington already has had fun ideas, like to have the name Tuffy Tuffington,
mm-hmm.
is walking their dog, and the dog takes a poop, and they're like, we should do that to Nazis. Like, that's fun. And the idea when you get the word out about it, that it'll, and then it's in The Guardian, and I read the title, Turd Reich. That makes it really funny for me.
Right.
The thing is, you also will have a period of your life dedicated to like putting dog shit in a pile. And that's where it's too far for me. That's where I'm like, this is a clever creative idea, but I'm also like picking up dog poop to save it.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel crazy.
Yeah, and then going back to clean it up. There's so much labor involved in this protest, this anti-protest, that's, I mean, they're gonna go back, clean it up. I don't know, it just feels.
Well, what they could do, maybe we can offer them some logistical advice. What they could do is just bring now all their dog walks up until Saturday when the activists are gathering will be at the Chrissy Field. Just bring all your dogs there, so then they poop and they pee right there, and then you come back on Sunday and you pick it all up. But it's gonna be caked into the ground, and I know from experience it's not fun to pick up dog poop that's caked somewhere.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
The execution of the idea, I think, is what's, and what does it do about white supremacy? Like, at the end of the day,
it makes it smell.
What do drag queens or like the flower crowns that they're going to be handing out? What does any of it do, really? It's more sort of symbolic, and there are different ways of approaching that. And I think that the symbolism and what you can bring to these people that you just so vehemently absolutely disagree with. It just makes you feel better, really. It's not about what you're not gonna be changing any hearts there.
Sure.
This is a brilliant idea. And the more I think about it, the more I think they should do it. It's way better than punching Nazis, which I don't think you should do. People have come online and go, you can punch them because they're Nazis. Like, no, once you punch them, then you kind of are a jerk too. They were Nazis, and you were just someone who doesn't punch anyone. Mm-hmm. And now they're Nazis, and you're someone who just punches people, even if they're Nazis. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of a lot of folks in San Francisco who, if you've ever been to like a public event in San Francisco, it's super awesome and super fun. And randomly people can be naked. It's fantastic. Those people being out there and around and having a better time than the angry Nazis.
Right.
That's what I like about San Francisco festivals, is everyone's just having the best time ever, where if you try to be mean, you just feel ridiculous.
I think that's sort of what the spirit of this is. And that's why I think the dog shit thing is a little strange, because they were saying they want to use their particular strengths. So they have humor, seaworthiness, the ability to monopolize parking spaces, and cuteness, respectively, to thumb their noses at hate. And what sort of is an outlier to that is that then these people are just tramping around in poop, and they're in a bad mood. And I think that it's better to, you know, the Selena Gomez fan in me is just like, kill him with kindness. Just be as kind as you can. And I don't think that stepping in dog poop.
Learning so many things about you today, Grace.
Grace doesn't like Selena Gomez very much.
Okay, good.
Just kidding. She's in love with Selena Gomez.
Oh, wait, sorry.
I was so sad that you had to do preparation for today, because afterwards, actually, just go reward yourself, because her like Instagram story today.
Is gold.
I'll just leave it at that. It's amazing. She's like getting her makeup done.
Well, we'll just move on to the next story so I can get on my phone as quickly as possible. And this next one is going to be talking about dating apps. Okay. So many Silicon Valley companies have been cracking down on extremism, white nationalists, white supremacy, from being on their platforms, from being on their applications. And we've seen this from Facebook, from Twitter, PayPal, Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, and now OkCupid is tossing their name into this company. The shift towards tighter regulation became especially clear after the August 12th rally in Charlottesville led to violence. Days later, the dating site OkCupid announced on Twitter that it had banned a newly famous white nationalist. That white nationalist is Christopher Cantwell. You may remember him from that Vice News documentary about what happened in Charlottesville. It went viral. It was all over Facebook, and everyone got to know his name and face, and he got called out. And OkCupid was very quick to respond on Twitter. They said, "We were alerted that white supremacist Chris Cantwell was on OkCupid. Within 10 minutes, we banned him for life. There is no room for hate in a place where you're looking for love." Furthermore, chief executive at OkCupid said, "We do not tolerate anyone who promotes racism or hatred. It's that simple. At OkCupid, our mission is to connect people based on substance. citizens based on their shared sensibility. That the privilege of being in our community does not extend to Nazis and supremacists. Bumble, another dating application, also said that it will be working with the Anti-Defamation League to ban all forms of hatred on their platform. So we're seeing this carry over. I think a lot of this comes down to what the chief executive at PayPal said. Companies and CEOs have an obligation, maybe even a moral obligation, to stand up for values. But some people are saying, guys, that this is a slippery slope. Let me tell you about that. Experts warned that once online services start banning users because of their views, they risk tumbling down a slippery slope. OkCupid may have had several good reasons to ban Mr. Cantwell, said Jimmy Latow, an associate professor in the Department of Journalism and Communication at Lehigh University. But once they start policing people's beliefs online, it's not unreasonable to ask why they allow people who have other beliefs or behaviors that are repugnant. Now, to that point, the OkCupid CEO said, pretty bluntly, we do not believe that there is a slippery slope between banning white supremacists on OkCupid and policing other beliefs. So to that degree, two different schools of thoughts here. Where do you guys land on this?
I'm fine with them not being on OkCupid. I think it saves these white supremacists a lot of time and money.
Money? OkCupid's free.
Time and money, because okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you are a Nazi white supremacist, you're definitely not leading with that.
You
on your first message, once you've been swiped right on.
You think?
Maybe it's you're on not your like, profile, like hates, not, equality, progress.
So if you are, I guess that's fine. But then you'd be on like date three with someone, and then you'd be like, Jews suck. And then it would you just be like, oh God, I let it out. And then they would be like, I'm sorry, I can't date a self-avowed Nazi white supremacist, this is over. Meanwhile, you've gone to coffee, drinks, a nice dinner, maybe a movie. That's like $700 you spent.
Right, so this is a
primarily.
Fictional.
Mostly at the movies.
This is a fictional scenario in your head though.
But I feel like it's okay. The kind of thing that would happen. If you, a lot of people go on, I mean, people have done this. The reason that this came to their attention in one instance is that someone was on a dating app and was like, oh my God, that's the guy from, I think, the Vice video.
Yeah.
And said, this is a guy who elsewhere on the internet, as well as on probably the, like if it's certain ones, I think they source your like Facebook photo. So on this guy's Facebook page from which these photos are sourced, he's also spreading hate speech. Maybe we should do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So he is, I think he it would eventually get to the point where this guy is outed as a white supremacist and it's okay. Hate speech is on the other side of that line.
Yeah, especially for a private company. They are allowed to draw that line. Where do you land on this?
I mean, I'm all for restricting the privileges of white supremacists.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I like it's a clear statement. I mean the argument about the slippery slope about beliefs, I think, is a logical one, but when you're actively engaged in promoting hate speech, like you are doing illegal shit. So, yeah, you don't get dating privileges.
Yeah, the Nazi stuff
on this site.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like once we like deplorable behavior, like once we fought a world war against something, that category can be like not allowed to use dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
So Nazis, I feel like I've said this before on the show, I don't think the jury's out on Nazis. We can say that like that's hate speech.
Yeah.
So we did get them off.
And also, I mean, just to both y'all's point, it's if you don't like this, if you're upset with your treatment on OkCupid not being allowed,
right.
then you are allowed to.
Exactly.
It's a free market. You can make your own Nazi dating app, and that way
Absolutely.
You don't. Have
just,
and that way, Brett, you like you were saying, you save some money because you know if you're on there, you're looking for other assholes.
OkCupid is the bottom of the barrel. If you're not allowed on OkCupid, no one's gonna date you.
My brother's on OkCupid.
I don't know anything about OkCupid. Someone said OkCupid, I've given up. Like that was their joke. Another question I have about this is, well, then where are you going to find the hot Nazis?
Who cares?
Yeah.
No, but what if you're into
Thank
Nazis?
You.
What if you're like evil boys?
Then
where are you going to find them if they're not on
go where
Bumble?
Progress is happening, and they will be there trying to stop it. That's where you go, and that's where you will find them.
I don't know. I think there's money to be made here because I am a Jew. And I will try to make money off of these Nazis.
That would be clever. Make an amazing dating app and then it's run by you, a Jewish man, and then just see that the conflict that what it would bring them.
Can I run some names by you?
Oh God,
of potential dating apps.
So long as into
like prison time is on the end of this app, where it's just really like you're really just like a mole, and like we're gonna report them to the authorities, like you know, and they like the Department of Homeland Security is somehow involved, and then they all
you
know, that would be nice.
That's, I'll write that down as a potential.
Like they need some help with identifying
some names.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you. Thank you, Grace. Instead of J-date, J-hate.
Sure. Anything else?
Not a big response. Instead of Bumble, Dumble.
I was going to say Fumble.
Fumble. Really... That was part of this. You get half the company.
Okay.
And then, you've heard of Coffee Meets Bagel?
Uh-huh. No.
No? Coffee Meets Bagel. It's a dating app. This one's just called Bagels Own the Media.
Oh, wow.
That one got the best response. It's what it is.
That's what it is. Good. All right. Well, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Taylor Swift and James Cameron, Wonder Woman, and also a little bit about Ivanka Trump's fan mail. Girl.
Hey. Oh.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to go over some tweets and then we have some breaking news. So, Brett, take it away.
All right, Mark Tosiello accurately says, I think Brett just dropped it by accident, the drop it that happened earlier. That was an accident. I didn't do anything. They were like, we're not going to wait for this idiot to drop it. We're just going to do it ourselves. Control Left named your yoga show Yoga and Murder with Friends.
Yoga and Murder. Friends. I like it.
AJ Beamish says there is not a slippery slope on banning Nazis from OkCupid. Tim Joyce suggests a white supremacist dating site called OkStupid.
How did we overlook that?
That feels kind of obvious. Yeah.
Really obvious, as well as the suggestion in studio for Hotzi or Nazi. Mm-hmm. Hotzi or Nazi,
that is
it.
So let's get right into it. So over the break, we just got some breaking news. So this, I'm just getting this right now on the fly, but I wanted to talk to you all about it. Trump has just signed a directive banning transgender military recruits. This took place just this evening. Trump directed on Friday for the military to not move forward with an Obama-era plan that would have allowed transgender individuals to be recruited into the armed forces. Furthermore, he's also in this memorandum banning treatments and regimens for transgender individuals currently serving in the military. So no longer will they have the medical health care that they need. Also, he is directing the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to determine how to address transgender individuals currently serving based on military effectiveness and lethality, unitary cohesion, budgetary constraints, applicable law, and all factors that may be relevant. The White House official who briefed reporters on the memo on Friday evening declined to say whether transgender troops would be allowed to remain in the military under those policy guidelines. So there's still a lot of stuff as of yet to be determined, but that is what they are calling for. So this signaled that the administration was returning to the military's pre-2016 policy under which no transgender individuals were actually allowed to serve openly in the armed forces. That was something that we had been moving away from because Barack Obama signed a policy that was initially approved by the Defense Department that would allow trans individuals to openly serve in the military. So that is being scratched out. Now, when pressed, the White House offered no guidance at the time as to how the ban would be implemented. And so that leaves transgender service members, of which there are thousands, wondering about their future in the military. Obviously, this is a breaking story. We're just getting the details right now, but I want to get an initial reaction from both of you. We both were pretty disheartened when Alexa came running in and handed me the story. This is not the sort of breaking news you want to get.
So what day is it? It's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a news dump story. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to do it. He gets a signal, then he goes over to Camp David and he oversees handling the hurricane. And this goes with every other thing. We should have a whole segment dedicated to news dumps on Friday by Trump. Trump's dumps.
Hey, I'm for it.
Trumpy
we're on
dumpy.
It today. I'm for it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yep.
So that's my initial reaction is this is BS as we all knew it was going to be.
Right.
There's no clear policy really other than from now on it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you think, Ambria?
I mean, I agree. It's empty. It's empty, like most of the things that he promises to his base, and I think that's who this message is for. If you want to increase military effectiveness, how about we figure out why our ships are crashing into everything every 2 weeks? Like, let's address an issue that is actually an issue, right? Like, this isn't an issue.
Yeah. So one of the things that we covered on the show a couple days ago, maybe last week, was someone reported how much it would cost to replace these transgender military members. And it was way more than it would cost every year to give them the kind of medical treatment that they were, you know, ostensibly gonna be the beneficiaries of staying in. And so this seems like a BS stopgap to just say, okay, from now on, no more. Now, one thing you want to pay attention to in what Grace just said was the study they're going to do about the effectiveness and lethality of existing trans soldiers. And I want that report to be made as public as possible, because already in order to serve period, you have to pass certain standards.
Right.
And if you pass those standards, you're allowed to participate as a soldier, as according to the research that I did for the stories when we covered them before. So I want that, those studies to be made as public as possible so they can eat their words when they discover, to no one's shock, that there is no, as other people have reported additionally, that there is no disparity in effectiveness. And you know an instance of a report of a super lethal trans soldier.
Oh, yeah, so this is what I think is really important. When it comes to something that maybe you're unfamiliar about, you can always combat ignorance with education. And there's a really cool piece from the Air Force Times on a trans service member named Logan Ireland, who's been only very recently open about his trans status. So for years he was serving in the military and his service members didn't have any idea. And then because of the law, that the policy that Obama was trying to implement, he decided to come out. And basically, there's this really just cool piece on him in the Air Force Times, which is as pretty unbiased when it comes to, they have no, I mean, I guess they do have a skin in the game, but they just came out to support this guy and other people like him who still didn't want their names in the publication. Logan was one of the few guys in the article or women that said that, yeah, you can publish my name, because everyone else like, oh, I've been serving covert for a number of years. I don't want to ruin that now because it looks like that could really fuck things up for me. So just educate yourself, read about these people who are serving to protect us so that we have our freedoms, it just makes me so upset. Educate yourself on this. I know it's so easy to point to things like it's a mental illness, like how people were saying about homosexuality just decades or so back. And I know that sexuality is not the same as sexual identity. I'm not equating the two, but I'm just saying that it's not the first time that information to make people feel othered, a population that you don't really know about, you'd be like, oh, the mental illness. It's so easy to pin that on someone. Educate yourself before you write that in the comment section below. Please.
And it's going backwards for a political reason and not a logistical one.
Yeah.
That's what's so frustrating about it. It's signaling, it's whistling, it's another thing that Trump can say to his base. I'm with you, whatever you guys want. But you need look no further than the response from everyone when he randomly in a tweet dropped the idea of this in the first place, which was every major branch of government really saying, it's not a problem. I don't know why he's making it one. Or doing the same, you know, cowardly approach, which is not really saying anything, but not agreeing with him either.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so
Taylor Swift. Swift. Let's get to this.
Taylor Swift. Okay. So Taylor Swift dropped her new era last night. She released her new single, Look What You Made Me Do, and announced her new album, Reputation. Along with all of this, she announced a new and unique marketing campaign to sell tickets to her fans. But some people are saying this is a little bit shady, a little slithery, if you will. She's partnering with Ticketmaster for a promotion known as Taylor Swift Ticks. It's framed as a way for fans to beat the bots that scalpers use to mass purchase tickets and jack up resale prices, and requires you to register on her site to get access to tickets. From there, you pick your preferred city and then get to choose different opportunities to boost your place in line to obtain Taylor Swift concert tickets. Let's take a look at what this looks like. Taylor Swift Ticks. Hazel, we're glad you're here. Thank you. My name's Grace, though. When you participate, you'll build your activity status and boost your opportunity to unlock ticket access. Boost activities will come in all shapes and sizes. Watch the latest music video, purchase the album. For the greatest boost, post photos and engage on social media. So other things you can do, all these things you can do to boost it. You can buy the album, but you can also buy it from different retailers. You can buy it from Walmart, you can buy it from Target, you can buy it from all these different places, from your local record store. That will all serve to boost your status. And then you can also share stuff about the album, share photos on one per platform per day. And also, if you like to stay my friend on Facebook, you better do it once and never again, because I'm aware, we all are aware that Taylor Swift is coming out with something new. So
if you want to be my friend, you do it once every few minutes.
All right. You can also shop for new Reputation merchandise. So let's take a look at it. This is a high boost. If you want to get a high boost, this is what you got to do. Mix and match the newest pieces of Reputation merchandise. Get that merch from the Taylor Swift store. See something you like? When you buy items marked with a Taylor Swift Ticks badge, you'll get a boost. Scoop up as many pieces as you like, and you'll get the boosts to match. No additional steps are required. Your purchase will automatically be applied. So this will tell you on the screen, you're going to be in a wait list, and it'll tell you if you are priority or if you are sort of like towards the end of that. Also, what's worth noting is that participation does not guarantee access to purchase tickets or the ability to purchase tickets, and you don't just have to buy the album once. You can buy the album many times across different retailers and get a boost each time. So, hey, this is not the first time that artists have been trying to do something to make sure that their fans are the ones that are buying the tickets to their show. Ed Sheeran has done something similar. Bruce Springsteen, even Hamilton have rolled out similar sort of things. Now, where Taylor Swift is unique in how she's rolling this out is in incorporating the more you buy, the higher you get. Mm-hmm. Now, I think,
but not really.
but not really.
Right, as far as you know.
So I want to get a reaction from you all. I have some feelings about this, but I would like to hear how you're feeling about it first.
I'm just so happy that there's
really
more T-Swift music coming.
Okay.
At like 1:30 in the morning, I was listening to Look What You Made Me Do. Mm-hmm. Look What You, and I was so happy. I don't have any problem with the idea. It's not that I don't have any problem. It's like this was going to happen anyway. Yeah. The gamifying of and rewarding people who have more money to spend that spend more money on Taylor Swift with a priority in line. But the thing is, like, they're adding levels of priority, which essentially makes me think it's like buying airplane tickets. So they're becoming more like the airlines, and we know how much everybody loves the airlines. Like, yeah, that is what it feels like to me.
It's a promise of exclusivity that doesn't actually deliver on any kind of priority, which is problematic. And it's also inviting her fans to do promotions for her. And it's like, you have money for a promo team. Like, I don't need to share your album or your story unless I want to, not as a mechanism for purchasing tickets also to come see you. I don't know, I feel like the remedy for this is patience. I will get your album when I can get it in a store, or when iTunes has it, or when I can go to the box office to pick up a ticket, because this is ridiculous. Like,
do you have any Taylor Swift albums?
No. Ugh. I am
that's okay.
A black woman in 2017. I am not
and I'm a white girl in 2015.
That is particular to Taylor Swift. I mean, like, there's some others that I'll mess with, but this one in particular. I'm not jumping through all these hoops to come see Taylor Swift. So
I think this rollout is just it's so not well thought out. I think because you can't just reward the richest kids. And I feel like this was a room, the people that have the most capital to just spend all this stuff. Because you're gonna have these people that will wanna play the game. You're turning your fans into like this, it's like a game thing. It reminds me of that episode of Black Mirror where the guy, the actor from Get Out, has to run on the bike on the stationary bike. And the more points he gets, someone in the comments will hopefully understand this because I sound like a crazy person. And the more points he gets, then he can audition for the show. And then he can.
Why is he always in these precarious?
I don't know, there's a Rick and Morty episode where like there's different worlds within their world they create just to make power for the world above it.
Yeah.
Similar to that, it sounds. It does say in Taylor's defense, which I don't really care, but in Taylor's defense, you're allowed to post photos and engage on social media, which seem like non-monetary ways to participate and up your status in line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
but that's not the highest boost is in buying her merch, her like snake rings, and one of them goes for up to like $60.
If you want a cheap ticket,
at a flea market.
If you want a cheap ticket to a concert, buy the $9 tickets to the Katy Perry concerts because that's what they're selling for right now.
Are they?
Wah, wah. So there was a title that said like, You can buy a Katy Perry ticket for less than a box of tampons.
The good tampons.
Cotton. I think chlorine.
The argument here is that of course you want to weed out bots. I hate when you see all the, you know, I hate when all these tickets get bought up and then you have to buy a ticket for some astronomical price that it wasn't being sold at before because you know they didn't have a system in place for bots. But don't put that onus onto your fans.
Right.
That's not like you solve it without, you know, getting your 15-year-olds involved and like spending their allowance on this. Like,
and time.
It's not their job. It's your responsibility as the person that they're going to see to make sure that they can have fair access and equal opportunity to go to your concert. Like, what happened in this boardroom that there's like people will love it. People love spending money on me. Like, what happened? It was all rich people. Like, there wasn't one person that like worked a retail job that was like, yeah, real quick. Like, just spitballing here. People aren't gonna love to like shell out just cash on multiple albums. Yeah.
There's someone who worked retail who's like, what if I pay more for nothing? For no guaranteed reward. Right. Doesn't that sound like a great thing for me?
What if I paid more for nothing?
Yeah.
That's great. Put that on the album, Reputation.
But you're right that it does not accomplish the stated goal. Yeah. If you want to get rid of bots, I mean, ideally you would use like a CAPTCHA system. There are other things that do that. Mm-hmm. It is the disingenuous nature of this policy.
Exactly.
That is frustrating.
Yeah, and then they released a video and it's very much like looking for a pat on the back. And he's like, it's all about for you, the fans.
Oh my God.
Okay, moving on.
I never want to stop talking about Taylor though.
We have to sometimes, Brett. Sometimes we have to. So James Cameron spoke with The Guardian and he said that he felt that Wonder Woman was a step back for women. Now the director of Wonder Woman, Patty Jenkins, has spoken up and she retorts, stay in your lane. This is what went down. This is the quote from James Cameron. All the self-congratulatory back-patting Hollywood's been doing over Wonder Woman has been so misguided. She's an objectified icon and it's just male Hollywood doing the same old thing. I'm not saying I didn't like the movie, but to me it's a step backwards. Sarah Connor was not a beauty icon. She was strong, she was troubled, she was a terrible mother, and she earned the respect of the audience through pure grit. And to me, the benefit of characters like Sarah is so obvious. I mean, half the audience is female. Now he is of course referring to the beloved character Sarah Connor from the Terminator franchise. One of my first girl crushes. She is badass. Let's not take anything away from Sarah Connor. Now, this is what Patty Jenkins said on Twitter. She responded to James Cameron's remarks. James Cameron's inability to understand what Wonder Woman is or stands for to women all over the world is unsurprising, as though he is a great filmmaker, he is not a woman. Strong women are great. His praise of my film Monster and our portrayal of strong yet damaged woman was so appreciated, but if women have to always be hard, tough, and troubled to be strong, and we aren't free to be multidimensional or celebrate an icon of women everywhere because she is attractive and loving, then we haven't come very far, have we? I believe women can and should be everything, just like male lead characters should be. There is no right and wrong kind of powerful woman, and the massive female audience who made the film a hit it is can surely choose and judge their own icons of progress. So she's basically saying you can't, don't reduce Wonder Woman to her looks alone and whether or not she should be taken seriously based off of that. Did you guys agree with what she said? Did you agree with what James Cameron said? Do you think he was sort of stepping out of his lane here?
It would be easier to take what James Cameron said seriously if it wasn't paraphrased as, but what I did was good. Look at my thing. Mm-hmm. If he mentioned something else in cinema besides his own creation, essentially, then I would be able to look, you know, with more impartiality about this. That's what kind of takes it down for me.
And it's also a little strange that he doesn't see that Sarah Connor is badass and so is Wonder Woman. Their presentation outwardly and the struggles that they both went through and how it was portrayed, they're not mutually exclusive. You can have both badass women in this world. That pluralism is actually, I think, what makes both movies great, is that you can see all the wonderful representation of women.
Yeah.
Although shout out to him liking the movie Monster, because that was about Eileen Wuornos and that was also an awesome movie. But what were your thoughts on this?
I think I stopped listening when he said step back for women. Like, women are not a monolith. There are many women, right? So when you say one movie sets women back, like, you know, like policies are setting women back, not movies, like not Wonder Woman. So that was just ignorant. I think it's also ignorant to say that somehow Sarah Connor's grit allowed her access into appropriate womanhood and somehow Wonder Woman's attractiveness somehow distances her from a type of appropriate womanhood or from being a heroine. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not having Wonder Woman, it's having Wonder Woman, Sarah Connor, having a wide range of representations of different kinds of women, because again, there are multiple women that women can look and relate to. I think that's.
Yeah, and it just seems like that's not what he was really grasping.
Right.
That we actually do need both to serve the best interests of furthering progress. We need all sorts of representations of women. And it seems like, honestly, like people are saying that Patty Jenkins clapped back because it's nice clickbait. But really, she was just sort of saying, no, we need everything.
Right.
And let's pass the mic here, James Cameron.
Yeah, and there's a whole segment of the movie where there's no men at all, which was my favorite part of the movie, right? Where it's just a whole group of women existing outside of the male gaze, outside of men in general. So it's like, did you watch the movie? So
the movie's not that good. It's just so much better than Suicide Squad.
Well, everything is.
What they did, well, that's the thing is, I don't know, there's something, if you're talking about what a big hit the movie Wonder Woman is, that's not necessarily, like Suicide Squad was a hit, it was mm-hmm. terrible. So how much money it makes kind of takes away from it. I will say that the accomplishment I feel like they made in Wonder Woman was having like super duper charming and impossibly attractive Gal Gadot alongside super duper charming and impossibly attractive Chris Pine. Mm-hmm. I don't think Wonder Woman, if you go back and watch that movie where the bad guy just kind of comes out of nowhere, you're gonna see like this triumphant feminism as much. But I do think that James Cameron is wrong in saying you can only essentially win with feminism by having like someone like Sarah Connor. I agree with your things there. I just don't think that Wonder Woman is as much of a feminist triumph as people would say.
I think the argument isn't about it being a feminist, at least my argument isn't about it being a feminist triumph. It's just, was it a good movie that had a woman as a lead?
Yeah.
Like you know?
They should do more Wonder Woman
type. Do more of those, right. And I think because there's only one, then we want to put it in this position where it's like, what are the feminist overtones?
And it gets totally.
It's too much pressure. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us on the Friday show. Anyone have anything that they want to plug? Any shout outs here?
Go read what James Cameron said about Neytiri in Playboy magazine.
All right, and we'll see you next time. Bye.